Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 202, part 1, I Am, Said, I Will. Today is Friday, July 8th, 2011. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's club is also located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, you're a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof, you can come in to Pastor Paul's, register your household for monthly groceries. If you need more information, please call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 4 p.m. Thank you for joining the podcast. The month of July, these are the messages. Doors, I am, says I will. Wake up, melt me, fight on. There you have it, the podcast for the month of July. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast and have a great month of July.
Today's message will be entitled, I Am, Says, I Will. Comes from Isaiah 41, 17 and 18, goes like this. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and tongue faileth from thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Listen to this. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry lands springs of water. Now just look what God can do. Men are thirsty and they have no water. But look, here it comes all of a sudden. Hasn't it been that way in this ministry all along? Dry times, and all of a sudden, here it comes. Behold, rivers and fountains and springs, floods. See, God doesn't do anything in halves. He doesn't measure his gifts of water by the pint or by the gallon and say, like, look, hold it, that's enough. You've had two slurps already. No. But here you have pools, not only pools, you have springs, and not only springs, you have rivers. I remember going up, we were way up in Minnesota where the river starts, the Mississippi River starts, and you ever been up there? It's just a little trickle. You can walk across it. So it grows as it comes down. But here we have pools and springs and rivers. And when he has given waters, he gives trees to grow by the waters. And so there's bonuses in the Word of God, in the water of the Word. And his Word to a dry heart can cause it also to bloom. Now, I've been talking to four pastors that call me and write to me, but I don't know their names. And I've been talking to them on the radio. And they see something within me that might help them. That's a funny thing. When I minister to them, I minister to myself. You ever done that? Someone calls you and they have some questions and so on like that. And you're ministering to them, but really, when you get done, you feel better yourself. Give and it shall be given unto you, the Lord says. Pushed down, packed together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Now, a lot of times people misuse that and they use it as sort of a con to get money. I'm talking about the spirit of this thing. The real riches, not the Laodicean spirit, but the real riches, the peace and the joy and the righteousness in the Holy Ghost. So if you feel, you preachers listening, maybe you hear today, maybe someone on the radio other than the preachers, if you feel like you only have a seed of hope, seek water. Seek it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And all of a sudden, something will happen within you. Because a contrite heart and a broken heart, God is going to hear. God is going to send water to. You broken in spirit today? You listening on the radio? Well, then you're at a real good opportunity right there for the water, for Jesus to come into your garden and to water you that you may bloom. Bloom again, and all so many times we go through our ups and downs and so on like that. We've trusted God all those other times. Why not now? Farmers do that all the time. They trust every year that God will send the rain. But when God gives blessings, he gives other blessings to spring out of it. It's like I talked to a fellow. He says, well, I need so much, but I really need a better job. Well, I said, well, a better job, something would spring out of that, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that take care of your money problem and a better home and new neighbors and a car and food and clothing and peace? So he got the job and he wanted all the rest. I said, hey, you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added onto you. That's what you really need, not what you want. But that which you really need, you remember you went out there to the coast? And I think, Mary, you lived in a tent for a while, didn't you? Well, you just went out there and lived in a... Well, before Mary left, she doled out $5,000 for this church. Then she went out and she lived in a tent. But see, God blessed her. Now, you must have been crying out. You might have had a contrite heart whilst you were out there. Maybe you had it while you were here. God spoke to you and you moved all the way out there. Maybe a lot of people prophesied against it. Maybe some people said, goodbye. I don't know. But I do know that things work out. Isn't that wonderful? Springs and wells and rivers of water. So let us today concentrate on verse 18. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. And in the wilderness of your experiences, you listening on the radio, God can give you an abundance there. And the dry land, springs of waters. But anyway, all through this chapter, God says, I will and thou shalt. Which, of course, has much the same effect. But I thought, what a prize this portion of Scripture is, which is filled with the shalls and the wills. I got this message as I was last night watching TV, and there was some kind of a con man on there. I call him a spiritual con man. And he was tapping his pencil, and then all of a sudden he would reach out, yep, God's going to bless you. And then he'd think on this next letter, yep, oh, he'd say, oh, it's coming through. Now you just send that $1,000 in, believe God, he said. Then he took another letter and he trembled some more, and I thought, wow, this guy's really something here, you know. Of course, God deal with my sarcasm, but I mean, that's the way I am. Then he had another little quiver, woo, you know what I mean. And you know how many people are like that? They don't go through that type of shaking and quaking, but they have a word for someone, always. God is going to bless you. Money is going to roll in. Well, maybe money isn't what they really need. Maybe they need a good swift kick in the pants. Amen, somebody. Well, your kids sometimes, when they're really acting up and they're doing everything wrong, do you give them money? Or here's a new car, you know, and you just robbed a bank or something like that. But anyway, what a prized portion of Scripture. And it brought me to this. Isn't this funny? The con brought me to God. All things are working together for good, meaning God. There's only one thing good, and that's God. Say amen, somebody. But everything he says is precious. But his I wills are very, very precious. There are many I wills I find in the Psalms, many of them. And of course, the I wills of Christ Jesus are many. But when we come to the I wills of God, then we get among the very precious things, the deep things, the things which minister comfort, and isn't that what everybody wants? My God, it's just a beautiful thing to have comfort. And you know when you have comfort? When you obey the Lord. Now, a lot of times in my life, and especially being down here, the only way I have comfort is when I obey the Lord. So, obedience brings a blessing, and the blessing isn't always money, it's comfort to your heart. Now, when you have a comfort in your heart, no one can take that away from you. When you have a peace, not a peace that the world gives, but a peace which Jesus gives. Now listen. When we come, I said, to the I wills of God, we're reaching into the very deep things. The things that minister the comfort, and not only the comfort, the strength. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you obey the Lord, he gets joyful. When he gets joyful, you get strong. Because remember, he lives right in your mobile temple. Oh, a lot of times we say, I will, but how feeble? How feeble compared to God? So you see, I will is for the King of Kings. And so many people go about saying, and I've said myself, well, I'll do that. Oh, sure, I'd be glad to. Yeah. See, but this is a prerogative to will. And that is God. That's his prerogative. It is, let's say, his sovereign right to say, I will. And when we read chapters like Isaiah 40, which is full of the I wills of God, we should pause just to think of what Jehovah's I will must mean. It is a perfect, precious, present ever tense I will. Think on that. I mean, it's an I will uttered with deliberation, a deliberate saying, I will. He deliberately said, I said it and I'm glad. James said, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. And he knew all the works that you were going to perform, all of them. Oh, and it's so beautiful when you find out that you're in the will of God and the works are working right along. That's like when this cooler went up. This huge thing we got downstairs. 4 days it was up and running. Well, why? Because God's I will was in it. Now, without the will of God in something, nothing's going to happen. See, we say I will in a hurry, don't we? Oh, yeah, I will. Your kids say that when they go. Now, do your room, and you call them on the phone. Maybe you're listening on the radio at work. And do your room, and do this, and do that. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. The teenage daughters, I will. They stamp their little moccasins on the floor. Huh? And the teenage boys, they get mad at the sound of their mother's voice. Their mother's voice sounds something like, do your room, do this, and you mock them too. Finally, you scream out, I will! Well, she knows you won't. But she knows that her will is stronger than your will, and you will. God knows you too. When you say flippantly, I will, he knows. See, he has to work his will into you. And a lot of parents try to work their will into their children. They try to work their you will into a won't will. Doesn't work. It's only when God changes them. It's only when they feel the Spirit of the Lord moving them to do so. Are you hearing this? Can you appreciate God? You got children. You're preachers. You're dealing with people all of the time. You know what kind of wills they have. Try to put them to work. So you want to get rid of people? Yell fire, let's eat, or work. They're up and they are gone. But we say, I will, in a hurry. And then in time, we take it back. Oh, I wish I could take that back. Oh, I repent of saying that. But we say it when we're under excitement, when we're under persuasion, when people are watching. When we're under compulsion, let's say, or we feel patriotic or melancholy. You can give a very melancholy message, pastors, and then everybody has got tears in their eyes and they stand up and they have that onward Christian soldier's spirit in them. That's time to take a collection, of course. They do every time. You hearing it? And sometimes when we get in the melancholy spirit, that's when we say, I will. Oh, we're crying. Oh, I will. Huh? And we get out in the car, and we get out in the traffic, and we're beating on the kids and everything else, and shut up back there. And, oh, man, it's forgotten. There's a lot of melancholy people that say, I will, don't you know? Or we feel sorry. We want to look good, so we say, I will. Make sure that everybody sees our hand up in the air, you know what I mean? Come on, let's deal with phoniness. I will, over here! Chain that fella to his seat. See, I think in many, many ways and many times we are unfaithful in keeping our word. Well, it says, let God be true, every man a liar. Why is that? Because next to God's truth, you're all liars. The Bible says you are. Any man say he be without sin, he's a liar, and there's no truth in him. No, we don't want to hear those scriptures. Now, I've attained something, man. I've been to 14,000 seminars, back to Israel 4 or 5 times. I've been in the tomb. So what? Jesus isn't there. He is risen. Why do you go back there and spend $4,817.16 for it every year? Why not give it to the poor? Why not give it to the needy? See, God never speaks under compulsion. He is almighty. He never speaks in a hurry. Slow. It tells us, be slow to speak. Well, some people are too slow. They never speak at all. doesn't say stop, doesn't say sew up your mouth. See, but he has infinite leisure. He never speaks under, let's say, excitement or persuasion. So you can be sure when God says, I will, that he will perform it. In his time, according to his purpose, according to his will, his design. And so sometimes when it gets answered, it doesn't look like nothing you asked for, but that's the way he answers it. Well, you didn't answer. That's just like when you deal with your kids. Well, you didn't do that. Well, yes, I did. Then you have to explain step by step to them why you did it that way. No, you don't need to say this is the way it is. How many are hearing this? See, because his purpose, the Bible says, is of old. How many are hearing this? Put your hands up if you're hearing this. It encourages me that you're listening. You out there on the radio, are you hearing this, or are you sucking on a Pepsi, chewing Frito-Lay potato chips? Put them down, listen. You sluggards, get up out of bed. It's about a quarter, it'll be a quarter to two when you hear this. Out of bed. And don't ask for favors from God when you're laying on your back all the time. The only thing you'll get is bed sores. But next, when God says, I will, his resolution is, I believe, supported, of course, by omnipotence. You say, I will, but you can't do what you promised. A lot of times we promise our kids things. Oh, I'll do, Mommy will do that for you. We can't do it. We've done it under a melancholy spirit when the child is laying there and they're all washed and clean and their hair and they smell like Lifebuoy soap and their little pink toes are there and everything and you tuck them in and, you know, they're just little babies, like 20 years old. But when they're all nice and all pretty and everything is melancholy and the scene is just right, we say, I will. And they're like little cherubs laying there. The next morning they get up and they're monsters. Well, your will doesn't carry over then, does it? See, we have a conditional love. Aren't you glad that God's love is unconditional? I am. Aren't you? How many are glad it's unconditional? You on the radio, put your hands up. I can see you out there. Come on. Now get the Pepsi out of your hand. Put the Pepsi down, then put your hand up. You believe somebody do it? They just put down their Pepsi just now. Ooh, but we can't do what we promised. See, your will is good enough, but you fail because of a lack of means. You don't have the means to do what you say. You see, I will, yes, I will, but afterwards you have to meekly say, God, I have spoken out of myself. I can't do it, God. I have put my foot in my mouth again. See, but that can never happen with God. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Is anything too hard for the Lord, especially anything he has promised to perform? Now, he knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. And your kids, don't you really believe that you get to know them? You do. And they're all different, every one, all 15 of them. You can go right down the line and you can ask them all the same thing. Will you do this, and 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 will you do this, to all 15. And every one of them has a different niche, a different thing to their will, and you get so you know them. And God knows you too. But do you love any one of those children more than another? Do you? Well, you might appreciate one more than another, but come right down to it when they're ready to pull the juice at San Quentin because one of them was bad. All that love rushes towards that one. Oh, God, he's such a good boy. He didn't mean to rob all them banks and shoot all them fools. He's such a good boy. That's the same with God. Somehow, some way, you know there's good in that person, and God certainly knows that there's something in there that if it's nurtured, brought around by his hand, that hey, God can cause it to bloom. Are you hearing it? Never ever doubt his I wills. Never. Remember, all the things are possible. It says all things are possible with God. And furthermore, when God says, I will, we should remember that it's sealed with immutability. Sealed. I will. Stamp. It's sealed. His word is sealed. It's pure gold, using human terms, of course. We change, don't we? We're always changing. Don't we change all the time? One day the person comes into work and they're all happy. Hi, neighbor. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the next day, good morning. Oh, what's good about it? What got into him? But God never changes. See, we're made of dust, the Bible says, and ashes. And we are made of very, very changeable material. Well, the weather conditions can, spiritual weather conditions can change us all, can't they? Hot times and cold times and hard times and easy times and challenging times change us. Our dust is like a garden. We change with the weather conditions, spiritually speaking. We're but dust. And so when the rivers are flowing, wow, and the rain is coming, wow, oh, we're all blooming. But when there's a dry time and our bark is peeling, we change. And so some say, I will today and mean it. Have you ever said, I will, and you really mean it? How many have said, I will, and you at the time thought, oh, I really mean that. I will, and you're dedicated to it. I will do it. But then tomorrow we wish that we never committed ourselves. You get home and you sit down. Oh, I'll go there. I'll go down. I'll pack up 1,000 bags for the mission. Oh, yes, there'll be nothing to it. Yes. And you get home and say, oh, 1,000 bags. Man, that's a lot of bags. Well, why did I say that for? Another fine mess I've gotten myself into. You know what to do? Get up. Get your mess up. You. I'm talking about it. See, the mess is us. We're a mess a lot of times, aren't we? Get your mess up and get it down there and you'll get blessed. Haul your ashes. You, down to do that work. Haul your dust down there. Make some dust while you're down there. Do something. Perform that which you said you'd do. And you know what? God will bless you and say, well, this ain't bad. This old house ain't bad. You hearing it? See, so you gotta haul ashes and you gotta make smoke and you gotta make trash and you gotta do that what you said you do. And when you do that, when you say I will, God blesses it. And oh man, that was easy. You love it. You say, why didn't I do this before? Because you didn't want to do it. And the next time you say that, you won't want to do it then either, because you're warring against the flesh. Flesh doesn't want to do it. Flesh doesn't even want to get out of bed in the morning. Let alone pack 1,000 bags. Forget it. But for no reason at all, most times, we just don't feel the same. Have you felt one way one day and the next? Why do I feel so different today? Have you ever felt that way? I have. Very often, Pastor, every day I feel different towards what I said the day before. Either I'm more excited about it or I'm not excited at all about it. See, we're fickle. Aren't we fickle lovers to the Lord? Not me. Steadfast, loyal, always abounding in the faith. Baloney. Say amen. Let's speak plain English here so that people will understand it on the radio and everyone listening and on tapes and so on like that. Well, even Paul, they said, his bodily presence, yuck. And his speech is deplorable. They even ask him for credentials. He's the one that got them all saved. He come back a few years later and says, have you got any credentials? Ooh, isn't there a song like that? First you say you will, and then you won't. You're undecided now, so what are you going to do? Aren't we undecided people? We decide to do something, and then we undecide our deciding. How many hearing this? Now, don't get sleepy. Wake up. You know what works? Pinch yourself. But pinch yourself so people can see you pinch yourself. Because if you think you got away with it, the ouch will stop, and then you'll go right back and say, pinch yourself, right? So somebody can see you. Then they know. You on the radio, snuggling on a couch, or laying in your sluggard bed, sit up. Pay attention. Lean into it. What does that mean, lean into it? Well, I don't know, you're going to sit like this, you know what I mean? You got to get into it. It's the same way when you go to work. You go to work like this, dragging your lunch bucket, plung the clock, and go in, huh? Go into work like you mean business. Encourage your boss. Take a bath. How many hearing this? I think before messages, everybody should take an ice cold shower. And just come in dripping, your hair dripping, and ice cold. Whoo, keeps them awake. How many hearing this? But see, we're very changeable in all the suicides that have come through resting on the word of man. I'd like to have a nickel for everybody that's prophesied over me. I remember out there, I'll never forget this. I was out at the little house out there, and this person came and said, I have a word. And I thought, just in my own natural, and I was just a brand new preacher, brand new, just started. And I right away knew that, you know, it was for nothing. You know what I mean? And he looked all kind of weird. And come walking up to me, you know, and I have a word for you, you know. And so he said, you have to sit down. And I knew someone had got to him. Just in my own natural way, you know what I mean? I just, hey, come on, common sense. And so, and he put his hands on me, you know, and he didn't know what it was, but I don't know what it is, he says. I see a jungle hat. I see short pants. A tent. He sort of shook his head. A lion off to your left. And I stopped him right there. I said, do you see any bug spray? Because I says, if God wants me to go to Africa, fella, he'll tell me first. And then you'll come along with some kind of confirmation. I am not going to Africa. Don't try the Africa bit on me or China. I don't want to go to China either. Don't get into it. I think the whole thing is a figment of your imagination, all right? See, and you got to cut people off right there. They actually turn people white in their face, and they get them all scared by giving them some kind of a word. Hey, God will give you a word. Then the confirmation will come. God gave me a word. He sent me down here 7 years ago, and I'm here, and I'm here until God knocks me out or kicks me out or whatever. But I want to tell you, I've had a lot of words. And they've all been cut and run. I mean, easy to get out of, you know what I mean? And the last one was, again, I just heard it again. You know, I got these tapes that go to Africa. And, you know, brother, we all went over there, and this is a whole lot of preachers. They went to Africa, and they got over to Tanzania or Zaire or Uganda, one of them places, and they got over there. He said, brother, I really believe the Lord wants you to go with us on this crusade. And, you know, most of those crusades, what's happened, they go over there, and they get dysentery, and they're in their tent for the whole time they're over there. That's the truth. They go over there, and they spend $35,000. Do you think I would spend $35,000 when I need $5,000 down here to keep alive? Go down and spend $35,000? Come on. Simple arithmetic. Okay. And so, brother, I really feel it's the Lord's will, you go. I said, it's funny, he hasn't said a word to me yet. He's busy working on my last prayer to pray to make the heat bills and so on down here. I mean, it'd be nice to go over there, you know, but I mean, hey, I'm catching up. I'm catching my breath. No, I haven't heard a thing from God yet. Well, you pray about it. I really feel, and we prayed, and, you know, we all feel that you should go and so on like that. You know what happened? They got over there, and I sent tapes over there. And they got over there. A guy came rushing on, almost fresh off the boat, and they showed him this tape. It's got my picture on it, see? And he ran this tape up and says, do you know this preacher in Minneapolis? I beat him over there anyway, my God. Hey. Oh, that tickled my heart. Didn't cost me nothing. The word went over. And there's one church over there where 5,000 people listen to one of those tapes every Sunday. Come on. Say amen, somebody. You don't always have to listen to what people have to promise you. But all the suicides that happen from things like that. Depending on the arm of the flesh, God's arm has not been shortened. And it turns out to be false, self-centered after all. But God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, it says, and forever. See, the thing that has gone out of his mouth shall never be reversed. Never. Might take a time to fulfill it, because of our disobedience and our rebellion, but it will be fulfilled. So when he once says, I will, depend on this, he still says, I will, and until heaven and earth pass away, it will still be, I will. It will always be that way. Because God then is perfect, and he never, ever changes. Because, you know, here we are a changeable being. Either we change for the worse to a better, in which case we were not perfect before, or else we, let's say, change for a better to a worse, in which case we will not be perfect afterwards. So what have I said there? We're not perfect. Is there any perfect people in here? I hear different preachers on the radio, and you just have to say, that person is perfect. How do I attain such perfection? Is anybody in here perfect? Anybody in the balcony? Or maybe in this big crowd over here to my left? How about all you folks over there? How about all you people listening on the radio? I wonder who's listening to me now, since so many have laid down the plow. Hey, preachers, keep your sense of humor or just drop dead, foaming at the mouth. Yeah, heaven and earth shall pass away, But my word, my I wills, will, not my shall not pass away. See, he's always the same, never withdrawing his word or altering his purpose. Oh, I got to patch this one up. It didn't work out. No, come on. God is perfect. He doesn't have to alter his word. That's like Jehovah's Witnesses. They had, I seen a thing on TV the other night, and they had the end of the world in 1917, and they had it in 1926, and they had it in 1937, and they had it in 1945, they had it in 19, and you know. Well, what happened? Well, God altered it a little bit. See, he will not alter his will. He can't. Is God a liar? Will you therefore not believe this unfailing word of an unchangeable God, unchanging, never changing God? When he says, I will, you can depend on it. That's why I'm still down there. I'm going on an I will that God gave me when I first came down here. I will. I don't march boldly into the throne room of God. You hear this ministry? Brother, walk boldly into the throne room of God. God, you claim this, and in the name of Jesus, I hold you to it. You heard that? No, I'm not going in like that. I'm going to walk tenderly into the throne rooms of God and plead mercy. Isn't that the way it is, though? Such boldness, such brashness, such ignorance. Say amen, somebody. How would you like it if your kid came up to you, boldly made a request? I claim a 1986 Lincoln Continental. What would you do? Say, claim all you want to. You're going to be riding that bicycle till you buy yourself a car. Till you show me that you deserve it. Till you work it out. Isn't there a lot of that? Walking boldly in there? I never let my kids walk boldly up in my face ever. See, you know why? I was a little more bolder than they were. Bowled them over. So when God says, I will, it's always carried out because of his faithfulness. When he utters threatenings, mark it down, he will carry it out. Book of Revelations. He's uttered them and they're going to be fulfilled. They're being fulfilled right now. When he utters words of terror, be sure they'll be carried out. And I'm not talking about someone getting up and giving a word. I'm talking about the prophecies already that are in Grand Central Station, and all prophecy, by the way, is in, and it's sitting in Grand Central Station waiting to be fulfilled to this very fullest. Before that awful battle, that battle of Armageddon, until that day of the coming of the Lord. By the way, if you haven't received Jesus Christ, you're listening, receive him now by a simple act of faith. Admit you're a sinner and come on to Jesus, and that's the whole gospel message. You don't have to fall into any kind of doctrine or anything else. You just have to come to Jesus. When he comes to the promises, rest assured that he never flatters the air, then deceives the man. If he didn't mean to do it, he would not say, I will. Never. Because eternal faithfulness performs what eternal wisdom declares. Shall God lie? Is he a man, it says, like us? Will he deceive? Will he falsely promise and then run from his word? No. So let us not blaspheme, let's say, his name by such a terrible thought. And so, child of God, you who know him, if he says, I will help you, if he says, I will strengthen you, believe God without a very trace of a doubt, and be of good courage, the Bible says. And he shall strengthen your heart, and ye that have hope in the Lord. And so let's look at two glorious I wills here. I will open rivers, it says, in high places. You ever been up in the mountains and they have rivers up there in them high places? Isn't that beautiful? I just never thought of it that way until I got up in the mountains. And fountains in the midst of the valleys. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. So then let me apply this text in a general promise to many things. But first, apply it this way, to apply it to the trials of the saints. Oh, don't claim trials. That's so naked. I'm not claiming them. I say they are there. How many agree there are trials? That's not, it's not happy trails to you. The I is in a different place. Trials. Well, God's people, you listening on the radio, they may be hungry and they may be thirsty and their anxiety very, very great. Your cupboard may be totally bare. Your rent overdue, but God can feed you. Well, you say, how about Ethiopia? Okay, how about Ethiopia? Where were you when I was a sick and a prisoner and a widowed? Where were you when I was a hungered? Did you know every time they go down for oil, they hit water first? Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that, is it God's fault? God has given us all the things to do it with. I just take a look. I hope that this ministry is provoking folks. It is now the most, it is the largest in the United States per bag giveaway. Did you hear that up in the balcony? Come on. Why? Because God says, I will. Say amen, somebody. Now you're getting ready for a turnover. You're getting ready for a doubling up. Right now I got cookers going in down there, and Lord blessed me with one person after another that had boiler experience to put this boiler in, and cookers to go in. They'll cook up every 45, three and a half to 4 hours. They will cook up 145 gallons of soups and stews. That will be flash frozen because God brought a guy in here that's working on a flash freezer. When they go through the conveyor, they flash freeze and they go into a freezer and they go out on the bus, which will be supplied with two great big freezers on either side, and you'll pass out 1 gallon to a half gallon to 1 gallon of soup, depending on the size of the family, once a week to whoever needs it. You know what encourages me? The I wills of God. You're going to have temporal trials. Yes, your cupboard may be bare and your rent overdue, but God can feed you. Though you seek water and there is none, he can open up. The Bible says, and I just read it, rivers, hallelujah, in high places, and fountains in the midst of the valleys, hallelujah. Isn't that exciting?
That was part one of episode 202, I Am Said I Will. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday, July 10th, and you can subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you'll find the show notes for all Pastor Paul's podcasts. Have a great weekend.
You got to move. You got to move. You got to move, John. You got to move. Oh, when the Lord get ready, you got to move. Get ready, you got to move.